Also today we welcome all of you in the name of the Lord. And we have received greetings from half of the world, which we just briefly want to pass on here. Then we have visit from Angola. Perhaps our brother stands up. Where is our brother from Angola? Do we have him in our midst? Here is a sheet of paper from Cosmobras, from Angola. He's a visitor. Where is he? If not, then it's all right. Perhaps it was meant to the brother who phoned me just from Angola in the office and who wishes us God's blessing with all his heart. All are joined together with us. Then we have greetings from Brother John from Bucharest, from Brother Lotika from Johannesburg, from the brethren Holveti from Finland. Then we have greetings from our sister Stai, which is very much tested, and who is sending greetings. Then we have greetings from Jürgen Schugelis. Yes, one could read on and on. Brother Etienne Genton is sending greetings. Brother Davi from Palermo is sending greetings. Brother Hilton from Cape Town is sending greetings. Brother Motika from Johannesburg and Brother Daniel from Cape Town. Yes. Brother Nyagi from Nairobi is sending greetings. Brother Leonard from Brussels is sending greetings. I hope that I didn't overlook anyone in all the emails which came in. We thank the Lord God with all our hearts for the grace, for the privilege. Yes, Brother Joseph from Kinshasa and all the other brethren from Bujimai and from the various cities, they are all sending greetings. They are, of course, joined with us in the Lord. And also we are greeting from our side in the precious name of our Lord. When the brethren before were singing this French song, then the thought came to me, we are really internationally gathered. And if I'm right, then there are 16 different languages in our midst. 10 of them can be heard now worldwide. And we are very grateful to God for it, that He has given us the possibility to sound forth His last biblical message into all the world, and to say to all men, this is the last call which God directs to mankind. And we are just saying, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Then I don't want to forget here our precious brother and sister from South America, especially from Chile, and then also from Venezuela. I would like to welcome them in a special way. You, please, both of you, please stand up. God bless you in a very special way. May He bless you richly. May He be with you. We are joined in His love. Thank you. Then we have, of course, there is our beloved brother. Please stand up. Yes. And then we say it in the Spanish language. God bless you, brother. Be welcome in our midst, beloved brother. Hermana is sister and hermano is brother. God bless you in our midst. He blessed you already and He will continue to bless you. In connection with this, we are also greeting all in Lima, Peru, and in particular in Asunción, in Paraguay. More and more brethren are feeling to be joined with us in all of South and Latin America. And they wish to receive our first weekends. Then I have the question whether Brother Mike and Sister Bärbel would like to stand up. Are they here? If so, where are they? God bless you in a special way. We all know who this kind couple is. The Lord bless you and your child. Then we have visit from our beloved brother Jörg. I don't know whether we can mention here the surname. Are you in our midst? No. He is here. We are just grateful that we can have wisdom here and we know what we have to do so that all are feeling at home. Brothers and sisters, we have the great privilege in these days to hear the word of the Lord crystal clear from the throne of grace, getting it revealed, not the opinions of men and interpretations, not to pass them on, but the word of the Lord, of which we read in the prophet Isaiah, that it will not return void to God. Only then, when it accomplished for what God has sent it for, the emphasis was already laid upon the word. And then Psalm 33 came into my heart. Psalm 33. I just read verse 4, 6 and 9. Psalm 33, verse 4, 6 and 9. For the word of the Lord is right, and in all His works He is faithful. Because He does everything according to His word. And then we can check and we can cry out with the men from the Old and New Testament, no promise which God has given will remain unfulfilled. Everything what God said happens. His word does never return void. Verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now, just imagine this. The Lord God speaks. Let there be light. And there was light. He said, let the earth bring forth, and the earth brought forth. Every word which he spoke out happened in the next moment. It became a reality. The whole of creation is divine reality. Verse 9, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Brothers and sisters, what an assurance we have in the Word of God. All the promises are yes and amen. And what he promises, this he keeps forever. Yesterday, we spoke about it, that the people of Israel rebelled. And despite of the blessings, despite of the promises, despite of that God meant it well, there was still from the very beginning, there were two different groups. The ones believed and the other ones rejected. And God could only reach the destination with those who believed him and who obeyed him. And by this, they placed themselves upon the side of God. And who accepted the doings, his doings, and who left their own ways behind them. In a whole sermon of Brother Branham, with the title, The Seed of Discrepancy, The Seed of Discrepancy. The greatest man of God of all times laid forth that from the very beginning there were two different seeds. The ones believed, they received, and the other ones had resistance, and they rejected. Here, on page 6 in this sermon, Brother Branham said, the people of the age which saw the realization of the promised word, they are the divine seed in that certain age, according to what Jesus said here. And they are the one, they are the children of the kingdom of God. That's right. And then it continues. The manifestation of the Holy Ghost, which happens through his children, is the seed of the kingdom in that certain age. We all know God has given promises, and then he fulfilled them. And then it continues in the next passage. The enemy, Satan, sowed the tares, the seed of discrepancy, the seed of discrepancy. He is the guilty one who did this terrible thing. Satan sowed his seed from the very beginning. When God And God placed the first man upon the earth to get the harvest. Of course, Adam knew that it is the knowledge of the truth, of wrong and right, to differentiate between them. And then comes something very special.
Nicht einmal die Sünde wird einem wahrhaft Gläubigen angerechnet.
Not even the sin will be put on account on a man. It's of course written, if God wanted to put sin on our account, who would be saved then? And then I read on, did you know this? Whoever is born of God does not sin. He cannot sin. It's not even put up onto the account. David said, blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute sin. Blessed is the man whom God has forgiven sin. If you are in Christ, then you have no longing anymore to sin. One could read on and on here. Not just from these two passages here. We all notice that the devil, as the sower of the first seed of discrepancy, he was called the sower of the seed of discrepancy. This we know according to Genesis. There we find it. Here in Matthew 13, Jesus makes the devil responsible for every deviation from the word. Also in this year, 1965, everything what is in opposition to the written word of God, what is not in line with the word, every interpretation is the seed of the enemy, is the seed of discrepancy. God will only confirm His word. And then, the three sentences. Seed of discrepancy. The seed which God sowed in the Garden of Eden brought forth Abel. When Satan sowed his seed of discrepancy, then Cain came forth. The one brought forth a righteous man, and the other one brought forth an unrighteous man. Brothers and sisters, let us today continue with the observation of the Word of God. And let us emphasize, as we are hearing the word and as we receive it, so God sees our reaction towards Him, and so He will deal with us. I looked it up. That Brother Branham, the Old Testament pattern from the breastplate of Aaron with the light and perfections, he mentioned 138 times, and he compared it with the doctrine of the apostles. And I say it already now. Revelation 12 and Acts 2 belong together. In Acts 2, 42, it says, and they remained in the doctrine of the apostles, in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. In Revelation 12, and there I refer to God's Word, of course, and I refer to the expositions of Brother Branham, and I compare it with what has happened when the uniting of Europe was proclaimed. Here, in Revelation chapter 12, we read in verse 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman." Today one would say a lady or woman, yeah, whatever, "clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." We all noticed it. When the Vatican put the 12 stars into the European flag, we all heard of it. When it was declared that Mary is this woman which is crowned with a crown of 12 stars, and that whole of Europe is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We all heard of it. We all know it. But the Holy Scripture speaks here not of Europe, not of Mary, not of a flag with 12 stars, but of a crown which the church, which is described as a woman. Why? God, from the very beginning, used pictures and parables to speak by them to us. And whoever reads just a bit on can, of course, find out where this scripture belongs, namely that the man-child will be raptured, which will rule all nations with a rod of iron. And when this happens, verse 6 is being fulfilled, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And at this moment, when this happens, then of course, according to verse 7, the war in heaven starts. Michael and his angels are fighting with a dragon who doesn't want that the male child is being going up. And then there's a big fight in the air at the going up of those who are counted worthy to be with the Lord forever. First at the marriage supper, and after that in the millennium, reigning together with him." Why do I say this now? Simply because that the enemy, from the very beginning, he used scriptures, he misinterpreted them, used them for his own destruction. And God has given us a prophetic message where really everything and again everything is placed biblically by His grace. And then Brother Branham says 138 times he speaks of that it is just so important that everything what is being believed and what is being taught, that it lines up with the doctrine of the 12 apostles. Because by this, the New Testament church is crowned. Let me read two scriptures to illuminate this with a breastplate. From Exodus 28, Exodus 28, and then we go on to the New Testament. Exodus 28, from verse 15. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. And now it comes. Foursquare it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof. And where does he read now? Anyway, not only that the high priest makes a breastplate, sadly, perhaps it's lying here somewhere. In Israel, a breastplate was given to me with the 12 precious stones, with the 12 tribes and their names. Perhaps because of the reason that we just pass on the divine message in truth. Once again, the end of this verse. It's completely different in German, in English. Completely different. In the breastplate, the light and perfections were put in. Let us read verse 30. Perhaps verse 29 also, in Exodus 28. Verse 29, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. This man of God couldn't enter the Holy of Holies, but only with a breastplate, with the judgment of God. And the same applies to us today. If we are coming to the front to preach the word, then please, with the doctrine of the 12 apostles, with that what is written in the word of God. In verse 30, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Tumim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. What was it? One can read the many scriptures. There are translations which are using the two words light and perfections. Every time, when somebody comes into the Holy of Holies, and if he has a dream or a revelation, a prophecy, whatever was being presented, if God was in the thing, then in a supernatural way, the light was flashing from the 12 precious stones. It was flashing forth, and all knew, there was no discussion anymore. All knew, when the light was flashing, then it was from God, and if it remained dark, then it was not of God. Nobody needed to strive or dispute with the high priest and asking, did you use the breastplate correctly? Not Aaron used it. God used it. God has spoken right in judgment. God answered with the light. And that's what's all about even today. In Ezra, chapter 2, we read, Ezra, chapter 2, here it is in verse 63, Ezra, chapter 2, verse 63, and the Tirshata, the governor, said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things until there stood up a priest with the Urim and with the Tumim. And if one reads the last verses in 2 Chronicles 36, how God, through the prophet Jeremiah, was speaking and how everything was being fulfilled. And then in Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1, reads, here it says, Ezra 1:1, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. God spoke, and when the time was fulfilled, God confirmed His word. And then came the command in verse 3, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. But this was not all. Now came the instruction, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. One can read all the chapters, and one can see how God watched over it and how He took care of that the temple is being built upon the original foundation
and seine Bestimmung übergeben worden ist.
Alle, die zum Volk Gottes gehörten, all who belonged to the people of God, wherever they were, they should go on their way to Jerusalem. My brothers and sisters, all who belong today to the people of God, they have to go on the way to come back to that proclamation which went forth from Jerusalem. Because that's how it is written. In Isaiah chapter 2, the word of the Lord shall go forth from Mount Zion, and the teaching from Jerusalem. It went forth, and in the course of the 2,000 years, one deviated. But at the end of the time of grace, the end must be as the beginning was. The church must be built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone. There's no other way, there's no dedication, no consecration, there's no completion. We have to submit to the will of God. And therefore it is of course written, as we read, that by this, by the light and perfections, the will of God is being found out. Now just be honest. From what reason? Why do we read the Holy Scripture? Why? To know things better than others? Or do we read the Word of God with the inner longing, O God, speak to me, lead me into your Word, into your plan of salvation? And then we experience what I recently have heard many times, that every word what is being preached, that is being directly revealed to the people, that there's no lessons after that necessary. And if we are of the seed of God, then of course it is being fulfilled what our Lord also said in John 18, he who is of God, he heareth the words of God. And then it comes to fulfillment what John the Apostle has written. We are of God. And all who are of God, they are hearing us. But the breastplate must be here. It must not just be a claim, but God has to answer in a supernatural way. He has to testify of it. And the whole Word of God is then included in it. Let us come back to the seed of discrepancy. Nobody can change it. The ones are ordained for that, and the other ones are ordained for something else. And every seed brings forth after its own kind. Let us read two scriptures which concern our Lord and Savior when he had his ministry on the earth. And he was only opposed, only not a single time. The scribes and the Pharisees agreed with him. Always they found something which they could criticize. And they always knew everything better. Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. Here we have the prophecy of the man of God, Simon, who opened his mouth and who prophesied in the name of the Lord from verse 25. He spoke out the wonderful words. In verse 26, Luke 2:26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see, and so on and so on. Brothers and sisters, every true revelation is being given to us by God, by the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit leads into all truth. Up to the statements in verse 30, 31, 32, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. A tremendous summary of scriptures, especially from the prophet Isaiah. And then comes verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Now let us imagine. And I'm really touched by it. You can understand it. I'm touched. 4,000 years, the people of God were waiting for the Messiah, for the redemption, which should come, which was promised, and of the salvation that all people should be reached by this salvation. And then came the Lord to his own, and his own received him not. Every step, the scribes, they spoke against him, and again they spoke against him. Time and again they found something which they could criticize. How different it was with the apostles, which the Lord took aside, which followed him. How precious was to them every word of the Lord. That Peter cried out, Lord, where shall we go? Only thou hast the words of eternal life. The ones received, and the others rejected. And it is written, all who received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. Brothers and sisters, let us come back to our time. There are two different seeds. The one always seeks to find something to oppose, to speak against. And the others, they are searching in the scriptures, and they notice that it is like that. As they did it at Berea, they were searching daily in the scriptures, and they knew it's right. It is in agreement with the Holy Scripture. The proclamation is in agreement with the Word. And they were blessing and praising God. The same we did. From the very beginning, from August 1955, when I was a witness, an eye and ear witness, I was what God did in our time. I had only one desire. I wanted to know, what does this man believe? What does this man teach? I of course saw that God is with him, that he shows him things, that he reveals him things which he could not know. A man who didn't know the German language at all, and he said to the several people where they come from, what they have, who they are, brothers and sisters. And also there was the seed of discrepancy. There were even Pentecostal preachers who just had to something to criticize. One cannot even repeat their words here. It was a pain for me from the very day on. But if I look back today, so we just have to agree with God that on the same field, also in the same church, there can be two different seeds. In all churches and denominations, there are still both seeds, and only the divine seed will hear to that what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And they will take it to heart. All the others, they will only criticize and speak against. If God has given you the grace not to oppose, but to accept and to say yes to the Word of God, we, of course, have the term the biblical end-time message with everything what God ever said included. It is included. Brothers and sisters, if it was given to you by God not to have any opposition, not any rejection, but an inner agreement to it, then I can tell you by a divine authority, I can guarantee you that you are a part of God's elect. Otherwise, you could not believe, as the Scripture says. All the others, they speak against. We don't speak against. We are thankful to God that He speaks with us. But let us go now to the summary in Hebrews chapter 12. And here, it is shown to us in a special way what happened to our Lord during His ministry. And if He could not say to Nathanael, "Before Philip called you, I have seen you under the fig tree." Could he not say to Peter, "Thy name is Simon, Kephas, and the name of thy father is Jonas"? Could he not say to the woman, "Five husbands you had, and the one you have now, this is not your husband"? And all the other scriptures. Then the scribes would never say he is of the devil, he is the Beelzebub. God always leads it in that way, that there has to be made a decision. And we accepted the decision which God made for us. And therefore, we could decide ourselves for that, what He has ordained for us in this time. And then we come to Hebrews, chapter 12. Here, we must, for the context's sake, we have to read the first three verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us,
obliegenden Wettkampfe laufen. Das sind gewaltige Worte.
These are tremendous words, which we have to take to heart. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Und Vollender des Glaubens, der den Preis,
who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Then, gesetzt hat.
And now comes verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and discouraged in your minds. Our Lord, at that time, for obtaining the prize of joy, which was expecting him, namely, that all sons and daughters of God, by the power of the finished work of redemption, forever will be with God. He knew when he will give his life for an atonement, then we will have peace with God. And by his stripes we are healed. Here our Lord is described that all the speaking against, all the opposition, all the criticism, he endured. And then it says, lest ye be wearied and discouraged in your minds. Recently, some brothers found out that sometimes I have big trouble in me. I have no personal trouble. I have only one pain. And this goes to this. I also want to present Christ a chaste virgin. I want that the divine order is being accomplished in the church, that all the ministries, all the gifts, all the tasks find their place, and that everything is placed divinely, and so that God's well-pleasing can rest upon all of us. Now it is not like this at the moment, and this just hurts very much, that also Brother Branham's statements and quotes, they are interpreted privately. And this we see, here we see again the grace which God has given unto us. Everything, taking everything back to the Scripture and letting God finally say what has to be said to us. And what was said to us by the biblical message. No interpretation anymore. No adding anymore. And as Brother Branham emphasized, there were five things which he emphasized. We always mentioned only three of them. Not taking anything out of context. Not interpreting anything and letting everything as it is in the context in which it belongs. And grace God has given us. It is a direct gift of our God. Let me just mention two or three scriptures from the Old Testament to serve all the brethren around the world, to help them in the proclamation of the Word of God. That what prophets spoke out in the Old Testament is, of course, by the apostles in the New Testament, it was placed correctly. Every place is there where it belongs. Not a single one was taken out of context. Even the comparison of Joel 2, verse 3, and Acts 2, verse 20, where the apostle used a totally different word. In the New Testament he used it in comparison to the Old Testament. The Old Testament speaks of the terrible day of the Lord, which would come. And Peter changes the word terrible into glorious. With glorious. And then it becomes really glorious. Then Paul lines out 5 times where this glorious belongs, namely to the day of Jesus Christ, to the day of the return of Jesus Christ in connection with the bride church. And the second part remains the terrible day, which of course will then set in when the rapture has taken place. Brothers and sisters, when we read the New Testament carefully under the leading of the Holy Spirit, then only adoration and worship, and thanks be to God. Let us remember Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach to the captives deliverance an acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance. In Luke 4, our Lord stops in the middle of the verse and he only reads up to the time of grace. Of the day of vengeance, he doesn't read. He closes the book of the prophet Isaiah and he says, "Today this scripture is being fulfilled before your eyes." Now just imagine, please don't imagine it, but only to emphasize it now, would the Lord have read on of the day of vengeance? He could not say, today this scripture is being fulfilled, because the day of vengeance was still 2,000 years ahead. Brothers and sisters, this word is a perfect word of our God. And men of God in the Old and in the New Testament were led by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I'm every time rejoicing. Of course, one can see it on me. I'm really rejoicing every time when I think about that in the New Testament, 845 times reference is being made from the Old Testament. It's just something wonderful. God watched over his word, over the prophets, which announced, over the apostles, who had to prove the fulfillment and to bring it to us. The same Spirit of God was in the Old and New Testament at work. The same Spirit of God is today at work. Let me just read the scriptures from the Epistle of John to show us the difference between opposition and between the accepting which God has given to us by His grace. The seed of God differentiates Himself from the other seed. First John chapter 2, here we read from verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now just say amen. Our sins are forgiven to us by the blood of the Lamb for his name's sake. For in his name repentance of sins should be preached unto all nations. It was preached. And we received the faith by the preaching, and we thank God for it. In verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Who was the wicked one? The wicked one sowed the other seed when the people slept. Matthew 13. Because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Then again, verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him who is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth continually in you. And ye have overcome the wicked one. What kind of word are we thinking now? Revelation 12. They have overcome the wicked one by the word of God and by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame. Brothers and sisters, we are ordained to overcome as he has overcome. And he was the word which became flesh. And we are in this time the manifestation of the word which God has given to us, which he promised us. And now comes also verse 17, in particular, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, not only God's word remains forever, as written in Isaiah 40, and 1 Peter 1, but also all those, as written here, that we abide forever because we received the word in us. The world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We have read that the breastplate was for the questioning of the will of God. It was given. For what was God's word given to us? To find therein and seek the will of God. And now something very special now, from chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. But ye have an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Ye have an anointing from the Holy One. Why? Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit teaches us. It teaches us. In verse 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Ye know it. Could you acknowledge it with an amen? Because ye know the truth. But this is not all. And at the same time you know that no lie is of the truth. Lie from the very beginning is a lie, a twisting, poison of the enemy, of the serpent. In every interpretation of the word is poison. And then comes verse 27, perhaps also 24. 1 John 2, verse
24.
Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. To this we read John 17, to bring it to the point. John 17, rejoice just together with me. Rejoice in the Lord, brothers and sisters, that God has given us this extraordinary privilege, not to oppose, not to speak against, but to receive, to believe, to say yes, and to get it revealed. John 17, verse
3,
and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. One single God. One God has revealed himself to us as Father in his only begotten Son. And only he could say, he who sees me sees the Father. Shall I ask you how many are opposing this word? Every step, the theologians are speaking against every statement of our Lord. Doesn't matter where you would read. They always have their argument. Perhaps they are even smiling. And they feel puffed up. And we are thankful to God for all the statements. Because we find ourselves therein. We find ourselves again in the Word of God. We find ourselves again in those who believe now with all their heart, as the Scripture has said. Now, verse 27, in 1 John 2, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Abideth in you continually. Not only the word as a seed, but the anointing abideth continually in us. And then it continues. And ye need not that any man teach you. No. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Brothers and sisters, let us summarize it. We are living at the end of the time of grace. This we understood. And this, in part, also others found out. But the grace to pay attention to that without opposing in one single point. And I say this before the Lord God. I did not misunderstand one scripture and not even one quotation. I did misunderstand. I never interpreted. This was already in me from birth. When I was 13, 14 years old, our house was a preacher house. And the brethren were always coming together. And I still remember it as it was yesterday. And the one brother said, Otto, how do you see this? And Robert, how do you see this? And August said, what became clear to you? And all said something else. And I went into the other room, and then I looked up these scriptures about which they had different opinions, and then under prayer I was reading already with 13, 14 years. Not one interpretation reached me. I don't know. But really, God, from the very beginning, He laid it this way. But let us summarize it now. All the glory belongs to Him who decided over our life and who has chosen us before the foundation of the world to be with Him forever. And therefore, we have received eternal life. And we didn't need time to think it over when He called us. We could believe with all our heart. And this is the greatest gift which God could give unto us. Because thus saith the Lord in John 8. What is it? Verse 42. If you don't believe that I am He, then ye shall die in your sin. Verse 24, yes. And ye shall die in your sin. In your unbelief. In your disobedience. In your transgressions. In your opposition. You will die. But if you believe that I am He, then ye will live. And we believe that the Lord, that it is the Lord, who in old times used the mouth of apostles and prophets to speak to us. And after 2,000 years, He has sent His servant and prophet, Brother Branham, whom He promised. He sent him. And everything what God said before and what He promised before, He revealed. And we may believe it. Can you say amen to this? Now, one more question. Will we have a baptism today? Are there brothers and sisters who want to be baptized biblically, then please stand up. Do we have some who would like to be baptized? Here we have our precious sister. God bless you. There we have a brother. And here we have one brother. Doesn't matter. With Philip, it was only one. It could be three. It can also be 129. which I baptized one day on a Sunday morning in South India, in Madras. I baptized 129, regardless how many there are. It just belongs to it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Except Brother Schmidt says that the brethren should wait for the next time, but I think we take these few minutes and then we will go to the pool. Brothers and sisters, keep God's word in your heart. Remember that the light and perfection was given for the purpose to make the divine decision which no man had influence to. God alone let the light shine. And what does Peter write and Paul write? God has given the light in our hearts from the glory of God in the image of Jesus Christ our Lord it shined. That's how it is written in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. God has visited us graciously. He has given His word. He has given revelation. And we can hear His word in the Holy of Holies. I close now. That only those who are born of God, they will hear the word, the voice of God. They will have no inner opposition. And they will not tolerate when others are opposing. Whoever reads Acts 28, he will find out that Paul was living in a flat and he had meetings there in a rented house, and some opposed and the other one were listening and receiving. And then Paul was separating those who believed, and the other ones, they remained where they were. God separates. God will not always deal with those who are opposing Him, who don't believe what He said. God will raise His hand and He will say, I'm sorry, but you, up to this day, you only opposed, you spoke against, you hardened your hearts. You didn't want to hear to that what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And by this, you didn't come into the rest of God. And then it says on, there is given a rest for the people of God. Oh, we could continue this wonderful word to preach it. God bless us all and be with us all. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us sing, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy. Today we'll pray that all the newcomers that they will find grace before God, and that they receive the word, and that they believe, that they believe it by faith, so that it can be revealed unto them by the Holy Spirit, which leads into all truth. Please, although some things are new, believe God's word. Don't listen when people speak evil, and when they, the precious promises and mysteries, when they speak evil against it. Don't even listen to it. Only then, when God can speak with a man who humbly bows before him, who doesn't know it better, who doesn't oppose, but who submits under the mighty hand of God, brothers and sisters, may I ask for an answer? All of us who we are gathered here, all from Finland up to Palermo, from Bucharest and to the ends of the earth, who we are here today, and all who are joined with us, also with our brothers and sisters in Denver, Colorado, and all over, in Africa, in Montreal, all over the earth, in Ushgorod, and wherever they might be gathered now. Are we all ready to 100% place ourselves upon the side of God, to receive and accept His word, to walk the narrow way, to bear the reproach of Christ, every reproach, every slander, everything what is being said about us, to bear it in view the glory which expects us. Do you say yes to it? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And again, amen. And now, I would like that we are honest before the Lord. Should we have brothers and sisters who perhaps have still trouble with this or that doctrine, please, don't you worry. Not everything is being revealed on one day. Not everything is being taught in one sermon and revealed. God keeps something back for the next sermon. And He leads us always deeper into His word and into His will. But if you can believe that you were ordained to see the glory of God, to belong to the first fruit, and to experience the completion by His grace, then just say Amen. And this we all accept from the hand of God. Now I ask Brother Schmidt that he comes, that he prays with us, and we all will bring our requests before the Lord and will believe that He already answered. Great God, we say thanks to You. In Christ Jesus our Lord, in which You manifested Yourself, You revealed Yourself to Your people, who You are and who You were and who You are coming. We thank You, Lord, our Savior, that by You we have the salvation which You brought into the world. We thank You that You, O Lord, has that you endured all the opposition. Also us, you have given your life for us who we were lost. We thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for your blood, that by your blood we are washed and purified, standing before you as white, as such as never sinned before. But you alone, you never sinned, you never did something wrong. You took everything upon yourself and you have set us free. I thank you. Please give us all grace. Abide with us. Bless all your worshiping people all over the earth. Lord, in all peoples, tongues and nations. Lord, from Africa, from up to the far north and far east, you know them all. We ask it for your holy name's sake. Bless also today those who are making a covenant with you today as a confirmation of your death and of your resurrection. Bless us, Lord, and give grace that they can be with you, with us, when you will return. Please lead us, guide us, Lord, so that we don't fall into temptation, because you have won the victory over all temptations. Thank you for it. Amen. Let us sing the chorus, "To you, Lamb of God, be all the honor." I love him, I love him. And all the people said, "Amen."